Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 100, Psalms chapter 100. We've been talking about prayer. We know that prayer is one of the most important things that every believer needs to get a handle on in their Christian life. A Christian that does not pray is a Christian that is going to struggle in their walk with Jesus Christ. A Christian that does not pray is not going to be able to exercise their faith and trust in our Savior in regards to what He does and has done for us. And when we think about this passage of Scripture in Psalm chapter 100 and verse 1, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God, that it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves." That is always a very good reminder. Amen. "We are his people and sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for a time where we can come and hear your word. Lord, we thank you again for what you have given to us in your word to teach us, guide us, to show us your will, to reveal yourself to us. And Lord, we are very thankful this morning that we have a church to come with other believers, that we can edify one another, that we can encourage one another as we come together to worship, to praise you, Lord, and to give thanks to you. And Lord, we do thank you for your salvation, your shed blood that makes prayer possible, that we can come boldly to the throne. And Lord, we just pray that this morning, above all, we would enter into this with thanksgiving. That Lord, we would enter into worship, giving praise to you for what you have done. And I thank you again, Lord, that we do have this time. May it be honoring and pleasing to you. And this I do ask and pray in your Son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. When we start thinking about the next step in prayer, one of the things that naturally comes about is we've talked about praying according to God's will, and we saw that very clearly one of the key things about praying is praying according to God's will. And that means having thanksgiving, because being thankful is the will of God for your life. And as we think about this, and we think about what the Lord is teaching us, and we actually use the gray matter between our two ears to truly meditate upon this, we see that what naturally follows why we pray, what naturally follows hindrance to prayer, what naturally follows praying according to God's will, is praying with thanksgiving and praise. And this morning we're going to look at thanksgiving and kind of talk a little bit about praise, but we'll reserve that, Lord willing, for next week. But as we think about praise, think about thanksgiving, I want us to keep in mind what thanksgiving is really about. Now, this would be fitting somewhere around November to preach this, but here we are in the end of August preaching this, hearing about these things. But there is a very profound biblical distinction between praying to God because of what we need and praying to God because of who He is and what He has already done. There's a very big distinction between those two. And we sometimes don't get that. Sometimes a Christian's prayer life seems like, a letter to Santa or something, which is, first and foremost, there's many issues with that. But we're not here to request benefits only for us, for our personal pleasure. If your prayer life consists of that, I think you need to revise your prayer life. I think you need to look at how it is that you are praying. But as I said, Scripture doesn't condemn us asking for things. Now, again, we have to be asking him according to God's will. We talked a bit about that. We are commanded to ask. But thanksgiving and praise can transform our prayer life from this continual barrage of requests to true communion with God himself. We like it when somebody compliments us, don't we? We like to hear, good job. That thing, and look, if you subscribe to it, please cancel your subscription. That you know, the love language. Yeah. It makes me cringe even just to say it. I have many reasons why there's issues with that. I have many reasons why I have issues with that. But one of the things is they have to have that affirmation, right? People talk about, well, I need to be affirmed that I'm doing good. I need to be affirmed that I'm doing these things. And we like those things where somebody does say, and our boss comes to us and say, hey, that was a great job on the project. That's really going to benefit the business. As a child, we like affirmation of, hey, you did really great on that test. As a spouse, we like to hear, hey, you did a great job doing this. You did, you know, what, and you, you know, I really, you know, we kind of enter into that giving thanks of saying, hey, you know, I'm just thankful that the Lord put you in my life. I'm thankful that you are the husband, you are the wife that the Lord has given. And we enter into some of those things and we like to hear those things. But I will say this, one of the things that God does enjoy and get pleasure from is when his creation acknowledges what he has done for them. A Christian can go their entire life kind of just giving that little bit of recognition of, oh yeah, I know God did that for me, but never really truly saying it to him. By the way, that's not Thanksgiving. So as we think about this, I want us to realize that this is the key to having a real, true communion with God and giving him the thanks that he does deserve. Prayer is not merely just bringing our needs, but it is also bringing our hearts to God. If your prayer life is not bringing our hearts to God and saying, Lord, thank you for who you are and what you have done for me, then our prayer life is woefully inadequate. Because as we're going to see, there are verse after verse after verse after verse that talks about this subject. There are a few verses that talk about bringing your requests, prayers, supplications, intercessions, but there is a large volume of bringing thanksgiving and praise to God. As we think about thanksgiving and praise, I want us to go over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We know that in Philippians chapter 4, we have the establishment of what our thought life should be like in verse 8. But before we get to that, before we get to those thoughts, and this is one of the key things, I'll say, look, if your thought life is out of control and you think about things you ought not think about and you obsess and you worry about things that you ought not worry about, and you have a hard time trusting God and having a hard time putting faith into what God has told you to do and doing it in obedience. And again, whether we want to call things anxiety or whatever your thought life is, look, before you get to verse 8, there naturally comes verse 6. Because 6 comes before 8. Even a dyslexic can figure that out. 6 comes before 8, and verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. Now again, we often are very full of care about a lot of things. And things that sometimes really don't matter. I'll give you an example. It doesn't matter what people think about you.
Right. That's right.
except your witness for Jesus Christ. If they don't like the way you dress, okay, fine. That's subjective, right? As long as it's modest. I mean, the Bible, we're going to walk through all those things. As long as you're not advertising something that should not be advertised, amen? As long as it's not profane and vulgar. As long as it doesn't diminish the glory of Jesus Christ. Who cares what they think? But if it's going to tarnish the glory of Jesus Christ, and it's going to ruin your witness, then you should care, not because of what they think about you, but because of what they think about God. There's the big difference. But I say all that to say this, is we care about a lot of things that we ought not care about. We worry about a lot of things that we ought not worry about. We have anxiety over things that we allow the anxiety to continue beyond what it's supposed to be. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. There it is, by prayer and supplication. We come to the Lord asking for things. But how do we come to the Lord asking for things? With prayer, it says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Starting off with thanksgiving is going to change how you ask for things. Because you will begin to realize, guess what? You got more than you already deserve. Yeah. Amen? Amen? You still alive and kicking? Amen. How many of us probably are, that's more than we deserve. did we get our coffee this morning and our new mugs? Not new mugs, they're old mugs, by the way. Been sitting in my box in my office for who knows how long. But I mean, did you get your coffee this morning? Is that more than you deserve?
Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, we think about this. It's going to change how we come to the Lord with things. It's going to change how we think about God and who He is. And He says, look, even before you enter in asking for the peace of God in your life, before you start changing the way you think, start by saying, Lord, thank you. And then that mindset will change. You can't do verse 8 or verse 7 before you do verse 6. There's a progression there for a reason. There's a progression there for a reason. Prayer and supplication plus the thanksgiving equals the proper request unto God. Don't just come to the Lord demanding something. We come with thanksgiving. We saw over there in Psalm chapter 100 and in verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. It says, be thankful unto him and bless his name. You know, that is a mindset that just kind of blows my mind from time to time, is how do I bless God? Now, I always like blessings, amen? Generally more favorable than cursings, in my personal opinion. If you want to go the other direction, well, Whatever you want to do. But blessings are great, man. How can I be a blessing unto God? How can I be a blessing unto his name? Well, we know, very first and foremost, there's the testimony that we have, giving God the glory for things, but being thankful is part of it. That verse right there in Psalm 100, verse 4, tells us how we can bless God instead of asking and demanding blessings from Him. When is the last time we looked at our prayer life and said, Lord, rather than asking for a blessing, I want to be a blessing unto you? And here's how we go about doing that. The psalmist in Psalm 100, verse 4 gives us a very clear picture of how we are to approach God. How we are to approach God. And we approach God with thanksgiving and praise as part of actually entering into his presence. Now look, as I've said time and time again, many times people enter into God's presence like he's a convenience store, hoping that there's something on the shelf that we might want. You ever been into one of those? You're out on a road trip, you stop by, everybody piles out, they got to use the facilities, and you're left standing there in the snack aisle. The vast array of snacks. Everything from pork rinds to potato chips to candies to chocolate to over-caffeinated, over-sugared sodas that you don't need. Amen? Yeah. We try to make the right choice. Let me get a diet Mountain Dew. And get the oven-baked potato chips. Oh, look, these gummies are gluten-free. You know, that's how we come to God. Before we ever enter into God's presence for anything, we should be thankful for who he is. Which means you got to know who he is. Which means you got to read your Bible. Like I said, we're talking tonight about another Jesus, because there's a question in the box about that. And there's a lot of other Jesuses out there, where somebody has a mindset of what they think Jesus is, who Jesus is. Now, I'll tell you this. Don't have a mindset of who you think he is. Know who he is from your book that he's given to you. Amen? So when we begin to understand this, we are going to enter into his presence with that heart, with that mindset. Why? Because we're going to come to him giving thanks and praise for what he has done. You know, thanksgiving is kind of looking backwards in your life, right? I understand we can be thankful for things that are going to happen in the future, but we often look back at what God has already done. That's the idea of what thanksgiving is. It is a moment of meditation on the past and a reflection of what we have already passed through. Amen? We should begin to realize that it is a remembering of God's work, his blessings, his faithfulness, his provision, his mercy, and his answers to our prayers that we've already asked. This is the concept. This is the idea. So let's look at a couple of things. Turn to Psalm chapter 107. Psalm chapter 107. Psalm chapter 107. I'll get there. There we go. Verse 1, it says, oh, give what?
Thanks.
Go give thanks unto who?
The Lord.
Why? For he's good. When's the last time you just thank God for being good? Is God good? Is God good to you?
Amen.
Is God really, really, really good to you? Do you get more than you deserve? Amen?
Yes.
Less of what you do deserve? He's good.
Amen.
I look at all of that and I say, yeah. And then it goes on and it talks about his goodness and it says his mercy endureth forever. Sunday school, we're talking about dispensations. You know what has been in every single dispensation? God's mercy to mankind. You know, he could have just snuffed us out like that. He could still snuff us out like that. You're like, well, he wouldn't do that. No, but he can. There's a little bit of fear of the Lord in that. He could snuff out your life right now that you wouldn't even be remembered. You're like, well, We understand who God is. We get that concept. Now, I don't say that to say that we enter with that, but I am thankful for his mercy that endures forever. How he has shown that to mankind. How he has constantly been merciful and merciful and merciful. Has God been merciful to you? You got salvation? You got God's mercy, amen? Because trust me, looking at my life, I don't deserve it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. The reason for thanksgiving isn't merely that God has given us something that we have wanted. It's because God is good. He's the definition of good. Just like He's the definition of love. Where it says God is love, it says God is good. All goodness is going to be from Him. When we think about it, His goodness gives us the reason to give thanks. Look, even when the circumstances are less than what we would have desired, amen? Even when our life is currently in a turmoil, is God still good? He is. He is. Take a look at Psalm chapter 105. Psalm chapter 105. You know how I always say, if God says something twice, you need to pay attention? You ever have that with your parents tell you something, and then they have to tell you again? That ever happened to anybody else? You ever have to tell your children more than once? Or do they always obey on the first time? Praise God, write a book, because we got to figure that out, right? My children are gone. They live in Florida. But, the girls didn't always get it the first time. I didn't get it the first time. Psalm 107, yeah, that's the second time, but here's another time where he said it before Psalm 107. He said it in Psalm 105. What does he say? Almost the exact same thing. Verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Here again, we've got another one, and here's why. Well, here we'll give thanks unto the Lord, call on His name. We know it's by the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, that we are saved. Amen. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved, is what it said. And it says right here, make known His deeds among the people. You know, when you give thanks, you're not just giving thanks in private, but you're giving thanks in public. Who here loves public speaking? Who loves getting in front of people and just blabbing and blah, 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 blah. Speaking in tongues here? No. How many of us really truly enjoy that? How many of us rather face gunfire than do that? There's quite a few of us that are like, yeah, I'd rather. You realize that you are called to publicly declare thanksgiving of our God to everyone? I don't like to pray publicly. I know. I know. I don't either. Do you know how hard it is for a dyslexic to get up here and start saying things? You know how hard it is to do that when he doesn't feel well? You know how hard it is that when you got a brain that's just like fried? You know how hard that is? You get up there, do this. Got any volunteers? I'm not saying that so you can feel sorry for me. I'm saying that I get up here because I want to give thanks for what God has done in my life. I want to give thanks for who He is. You know, I want to get up there and declare in front of somebody. So when somebody says, hey, can you pray? I'm like, yeah, I want to pray. I want to pray openly. I want to pray. I want to pray and give thanks. Well, I don't know what to say. Easy. God, thank you I'm alive. God, thank you for saving me. God, thank you for your book. God, I don't even know what else to thank you for, but thank you for all of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Be thankful. Be thankful. Notice that connection that we see here. Giving of thanks and the remembrance. And one of the greatest dangers that we can have in our prayer life is where we become so occupied with what we presently need that we forget what God has already done. give you an opportunity. This isn't in my notes. Somebody want to give thanks for what God has done in your life?
Yeah.
Just shout it out. I don't care.
This day, this place, His Word.
Yeah. Amen. We got His Word. We got salvation. We got this place. We've got the church. We've got people here, believers. Amen.
Amen.
What else?
Family.
Yeah. Mercy.
Liberty.
Oh man, alive. Okay, let's keep going. What else we got?
Friends.
Friends. Amen.
Coffee.
Cardelli slips in. I mean, yeah, we just, how much do we have to be thankful for, folks?
Everything.
We should be yelling it from the rooftop. We should be declaring praise and thanksgiving to Him for everything He's given us before we even do that. Look, you know, one of the problems is that Israel, and you go back and you look at them as an example in our lives, what did they frequently forget? What God did. They forgot about the Red Sea. They forgot about the riches of Egypt. They forgot about they were so narrow-minded, they forgot about the oppression, but they remembered the garlic and the leeks and the fish. They must have been Baptists, because all they thought about was food. We think about this and we begin to realize. Turn over to Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78, when we think, and I like to say that when we think, because the Lord has given us a brain to think, amen?
Amen?
And we think in our hearts, not just with the gray matter, but we think in our hearts with these things. And we find here in verse 11, it says, talking about Israel, and they forget His works and His wonders that He had showed unto them. They forgot. And I'll tell you what, you know what happens? We forget. How many of us forgot where we put the keys? How many of us forgot where we put our phone? How many of us forgot where we parked? How many of us forgot a birthday or an anniversary? How many of us forgot we had an appointment? That happens. Amen? How many times have we forgot what God's done for us? You know, we forget what God's done for us when we enter into sin. You know what combats the sinful nature that we often have? You know what combats the forgetfulness that we have? Being thankful. Look, be thankful about even the littlest thing.
Amen.
The littlest thing. I try to make it a habit in my life because of the things that I just struggle with. That when something comes to my mind, I don't sit there and go, "Oh, thank you know, I'm glad I thought of that." No, I actually, this is my mindset. This is how I say things. Thank you, Lord, for giving me that thought, because I'm pretty sure I would have got a 404 file not found. I would have opened the folder and it would have been empty. Giving thanks. Turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. See, we spend so much time pining away for what we think we want. We spend so much time desiring things that we really don't need. We spend so much time just focusing on what is not the focus of our life that we forget these things and we forget what the Lord has done for us. And we need to spend time just saying, "Lord, thank you." In verse 4 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, "For every creature of God is good and nothing is to be refused." And every Baptist said, "Amen." Until it comes to goat, snake, and other things that people eat. You ever have a snake? No, thanks. How about escargot? Anybody sign up for that? No. Okay. It's kind of hard to give thanks for that, but if it's put in front of you and that's all you got, what do you do? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. You know, there is something that we enter into this life and we begin to realize that even the ordinary provisions that we receive on a day-to-day basis become an opportunity to worship God. They become an opportunity to worship God when we recognize where the ultimate source of that provision is. Look. Think about this for a moment. We want to worship God. You know, some people will say, well, I can worship God anywhere. All right, great. I agree with that. Do you? Do you worship God right before you eat? Well, I don't want somebody to see me bow my head and pray. Why? I mean, he only hung on a tree for you. But just think about this for a moment. It's an opportunity. You know how many missed opportunities we have in our life where we did not worship God for what God has done? For what God has already given to us? No, what do? We just sit down and inhale the food. Sorry to all my Marine friends that might hear this. You ever seen a Marine eat? Because they learned in basic. This is how you eat. One swallow. And it was, I mean, because you had to eat fast. You didn't have time to sit down, leisurely enjoy whatever they were serving that day. I mean, you ate quick. That's really hard on your gut. I get that. But so many times we're so concerned about something else that we never give thanks for God and the little opportunities in our life. And here's a perfect example of that. You know, when we think about thanksgiving and recognizing God's provisions, we also should be giving thanks when we do accompany our requests. We saw over there in Philippians chapter 4 where it says we bring our requests with thanksgiving. And what was the result? Go back over to Philippians chapter 4 and what do you wind up seeing? The result is when you actually give thanks before you come to Him. When you ask and say, Lord, I there's some things I need, but before I do that, I'm going to come and I'm going to give you thanks for those things. You know what happens? What the end result is? Peace. You know why so many Christians miss out on the peace that God gives? Where the peace that, as it says here, where it says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your minds and hearts through Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. You know why we miss out on that? Because we don't give time to give thanks to God. Look, if you struggle with peace in your life, and you're just one of those people that just constantly feels like they're at their wit's end, and they're frazzled, and they're about ready to explode, just you need the peace of God. When you're frustrated, when you're frustrated with family, when you're frustrated with friends, when you're frustrated with your coworkers, when you're frustrated with traffic on I-5, when you're frustrated with whatever it may be, when you're frustrated with life, and you're like, Lord, I just want some peace. Great. He'll give it to you. But you start with saying, Lord, thank you for what I already have. You're on I-5 traffic. Thank you, Lord, that I have a car that has air conditioning. Well, maybe it doesn't have air conditioning. Well, thank you, Lord, that I actually have a car and I'm not walking. Thank you that I have an opportunity to go wherever I'm going to go, whether I get there late or get there early. I mean, we got to change the mindset, folks. Romans 12. We got to get there, amen? We got to get there. This becomes a significant thing in our life where we start realizing, hey, there's peace that God is offering us, but we just don't take it because we're not willing to say, thank you, Lord. And I get passionate about this because this is a key thing in the Christian life that is often overlooked. And sometimes it's just done flippantly without true thought and purpose. You go through the book of Psalms and you begin to find that it gives you the Christian vocabulary. The book of Psalms is great for giving you a vocabulary of how to say things. And again, it gives you the vocabulary of thanksgiving. I mean, what do you look at? You go through the Psalms. Psalm chapter 9, what is it? It talks about thanksgiving and praise. Psalm chapter 30 talks about, again, giving thanks for God's mercy. Psalm chapter 40 talks about remembering God's deliverance and giving thanks for that. Psalm 92 talks about thanksgiving for God's goodness. Psalm chapter 95 talks about worshiping with thanksgiving. Psalm chapter 100 talks about thanksgiving and praise. Psalm chapter 103 talking about remembering God's benefits and being thankful for those. Psalm chapter 106, thanksgiving for God's mercy again. Psalm chapter 107, thanksgiving for God's deliverance. Psalm chapter 116 talks about thanksgiving for God hearing our prayers. You ever have somebody not listen to you? We have a God that listens.
Amen.
When's the last time you say, God, thank you for hearing me? As pitiful of a request as it may have been, thank you. Thank you. Psalm chapter 136 talks about repeated thanksgiving for God's mercy. Again, I'm just showing that and rattling those off just because I can show you that throughout Scripture, this is a common principle. A common principle. Psalm chapter 103, one of the ones that I mentioned in there, is very clear because it says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not. Forget not. And that is probably one of the most central purposes behind the prayer of thanksgiving. Look, I want to summarize it with this, and I'll be done. Prayer does ask God for what we need, but it's the thanksgiving that remembers what God has already done. So many times we get so concerned with what may be in the future that we forget the past. We forget what God has done. We forget how merciful he has been to us. We forget his grace in the times when we need it to strengthen us. And we're the ones that suffer because of it. Because of our own lack of just saying thank you. You know, they used to teach etiquette back in the day. I don't know if they teach it anymore. I think we need to go back to it. You ever remember the phrase, make sure you do your P's and T's? Anybody remember P's and T's? What's P's and T's? Please and thank you. You're like, I've never heard it that way. Okay, well, I'm sorry, I was strange. Our manners, right? We were taught to have decent manners. You ever do that for somebody? You walk up, you see somebody walking, they're right there next to the door. You're getting ready to go into something, and you open the door for them, and you open it, and they just glare at you, and they walk in, don't say anything. And you're like, you little dirtbag. Welcome to the mind of Ken Stewart. I try not to do that, all right? You open the door and you just kind of like, But then you get somebody that you open the door and they're just like, thank you. And they're genuine about it. It's not just one of those ones like, thanks. It's just, they look at you, they engage, they look into your eyes. I know that's a scary thing. They look at you and they go, thank you. And there's that awkward moment where you're like, I don't know what to say. It's, you're welcome. Or if you come from Chick-fil-A, my pleasure. You know, we have a tendency, I have a tendency to say, no problem. You think about that for a moment. Wait, I was a problem? Hold on. You thought of me as a problem? Never mind. My pleasure. Words, amen? When we enter into the Lord's presence, and let me ask you this, how often are you in the Lord's presence? Amen. You're in Him and He's in you. You know what that means? That makes that whole verse about pray without ceasing, and then in the same vein and in the same thought and the exact same passage, he talks about that the will of God is for you to give thanks. You should be giving thanks every moment of your life. And make it purposeful. Make it meaningful. Don't just say, oh, thanks, God. Read the Psalms. It will change you. You know, our supplication and prayer says, Lord, I need you to do something. I need you to intervene. I need you to intercede. I need something in my life, Lord, because I'm having whatever difficulty or whatever trial or whatever it may be weighing on my mind. But when we enter into it with the thanksgiving, we say, Lord, I'm asking because I already remember what you've done in the past. And I know how good you are. And I know what you have already done for me. And I know that even my ask sometimes may be undeserving. But Lord, before I even begin to ask, I want to thank you for this. I want to thank you for the situation that I'm in, that I'm even here asking you. That's a tough one. Because what if the situation is really, really, really ugly? Thank you. Because I get to see your glory. And Lord, even if it doesn't happen the way that I want it to happen, Lord, I'm going to pray according to your will, but I want to say, Lord, thank you for your will. Thank you that I even get to utter this thought to you. Your prayer life will change. Your relationship with the Lord will change if you do that. You want to know why the psalmists have some of the most convicting prayers that are over there, and sometimes even some of the most bold prayers that we've ever seen? Is because threaded throughout it and what holds it all together is woven in that thanksgiving. And in the same hand and in the same vein, which we'll talk about next week, is praise. And praise and thanksgiving are two separate things. They may seem related. They may seem synonymous. But they are very different. But those two things woven together throughout the entirety of the book of Psalms will show you why David, who wrote a majority of them, was called a man after God's own heart. Because he entered into his presence with thanksgiving. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we do close this service, we do want to thank you. We do want to thank you that we have this time and opportunity, Lord, to be here. We want to thank you for what you teach us in your word. We want to thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, before we even ask for anything in our life, Lord, may we constantly be reminded of what you've already done for us. And Lord, we understand the frailty of our minds, and Lord, we understand our forgetfulness, and Lord, you know our frame. But Lord, teach us to remember you, that Lord, we'd be more thankful in this life, that we'd give thanks for every moment of every day, thanks for every situation. Thank you for all that you have given to us. And thank you, Lord, for the salvation that we have through you. I pray, Lord, that as we close with this hymn of praise, as we sing about you and sing about what you have done, Lord, I pray that we would be thankful. And I ask and pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.